late Wednesday in Lincoln Park on the city's north side. And the number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits rose. Jobless claims increased to 419,000 from 368,000 the previous week. Stocks are higher. The Dow is up fractionally. The NASDAQ, 42 points higher. This is SRN News.
Let's be boring and do a commercial about cash out refinances. It's Ryan, and our mortgage team will often have a listener say, I think I understand what a cash out refinance is, but can't that be bad for you sometimes? So let's hit on that. As with anything, it's certainly not the right move for everyone. If we don't have to, we don't want to add a bunch of years onto our loan or increase our monthly payment too much or pay more in the long run. But because home values have skyrocketed so far up the last few years, while rates have come so far down, we've seen many scenarios where listeners today can pull out a significant chunk of money from the new value in their home while lowering the years on the overall loan, while lowering their monthly payment, and lowering how much they ultimately pay. The key is to just look at the whole picture and be honest with yourself about your situation. If you're looking for someone to show you your options, we are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp. 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. License in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Truck Lines, a company placing God and family first. Great home time and great benefits with highly competitive pay. Wiley Sanders Truck Lines. Call them today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. The risk of showers and thunderstorms will be around for the next several days, but the number of storms each day will thin out, so your odds of getting wet are lower. Today, random scattered afternoon and evening storms, partial sunshine, high near 90, tonight's low 72. Tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, more hit or miss afternoon and evening storms, but more misses than hits. Highs in the low 90s tomorrow and Saturday, and low to mid-90s on Sunday. From the Bluewater Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
John Bobo here with Capital Tractor. When you want your front lawn to feel more like a welcome mat, the Kubota Z400 is built to cut like a pro. Turn on a dime with effortless precision. Fast cut, Kubota quality, affordable price. See us today. Capital Tractor, Montgomery and Brundage.
For Alabama News Network, I'm Kay McCabe. The Alabama Department of Public Health is investigating a case of hepatitis A at a Montgomery Applebee's restaurant. ADPH says the case involves the Taylor Road location and that anyone who's ate at the restaurant between July 8th and July 16th may need a hepatitis A vaccine or other treatment. Prattville police are looking for a woman they said led officers on a chase after stealing from a store. Authorities say on July 14th, Rashadia Savage stole over $750 worth of items from a thrift store. If you have any information, call Crime Stoppers at 215-STOP. A proposed ordinance that would have legalized Sunday alcohol sales in areas around Autauga County failed during a commission meeting Tuesday night. It was sponsored by District 5 Commissioner Larry Stoudemire. This is the third time the ordinance had been brought up. And for these stories and more, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. For Alabama News Network, I'm Kay McCabe.
The following is a paid program by Dan Morris Productions. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Bluewater Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. You've got April Marie Fogle here, Joey Clark keeping me company. And on the line, we've got two callers. We are going to bring on Tracy West. Hiya, Tracy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I told you we've got our regular weekly drawing with Mortgage Corporation of the South with John Williams before we get to our interview. So if you'll hold tight, I'm going to let John pick his weekly winner.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. John Williams, how's it going?
April Marie Fogle, it's going well, and it's even better now that I'm talking to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great today. I really am. We had a wonderful first hour, if I do say so myself.
Well, you know, actually, I have your show on in one of the offices up here, my office, but I don't stay in my office very much. I run all over this building. I mean, like, if almost like aerobics all day. It's a big place, and I'm running from department to department, but I have been hearing bits and pieces of your show. It is sounding wonderful. And so you're right. Today's Thursday. We're going to do the drawing in just a moment, but I want to share something with everybody. I was actually on the phone a little bit ago, and a gentleman called me up, and he lives down near Panama City, okay? And he was telling me, he lives just inside the Alabama line, okay? He actually works in Panama City. But he was telling me from a radio station that we are on down there, he listens to us when he's on the beach in Panama City. That's the station out of the Dothan area. And so then he said he came up to Montgomery with his job, and he loves talk radio. And he says, doggone it, I hear you up here on News Talk. He said, are you everywhere? I'm like, well, no, not everywhere, but we are around. And he said, well, I want to get a loan. I've listened to you long enough. I'm ready to go. I said, okay, what you got? He says he's got a home that's worth a little over $400,000, about $420 now. And he wants to borrow about $250 on it. And I said, good. I said, what are you going to get a loan for? He said, why wouldn't I? The rates are low. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put some money back and do some things I've been wanting to do. Going to take a trip. Going to London, he said.
Nice.
Yeah. So, how about that?
I've been to London. It's worth the effort of coming to see you guys to go to London. I had a great trip.
Yeah. Well, I've been to Panama City.
I flew from Birmingham, Alabama to Birmingham, England. Or I'm sorry. To see the Dixie Chicks in concert.
Oh, my goodness. Well, how about that? Well, you know what? I haven't never been nowhere nor seen a heap. I've been to Panama City. I've been to Huntsville, so I don't know anything about all that.
Joey, are you ready to do this drawing?
Yeah, well, I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
All right, let's do it. Joey, you gonna let the big dog eat?
Let's do it. And the winner, the $75 gift card is... Bravo! Bravo!
Bravo, bravo! You have won the $75 gift card. You give us a call at the station, 272-9228, and we'll hook you up with that. Thank you, John Williams.
Hey, thank you. And just everybody, just before we go here, just remember, Mortgage Corporation of the South, we are the mortgage and loan center on top of the mountain in Wetumpka, offering top-notch customer service, great rates, and also loans for those who have less than perfect credit as well. When you need us, call us. 567-9000 is the number, 567-9000. Company NMLS number 232876, Equal Housing Lender. Y'all carry on with the show, sounding good, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks, April Marie. Thanks, Joy.
Thank you. That was John Williams, great supporter of the show. Tracy West on the line. Tracy, it's great to have you back.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation.
Well, for our listeners who didn't hear you last time, you are an elected Board of Education member.
Yes, correct? I am for the state, District 2.
District 2. And what does District 2 cover?
District 2... big district. It stretches from Cleburne County all the way down the eastern side of the state. So Cleburne, Clay, Randolph, Chambers, Lee, and then comes further south through Barber, and then we take in the Wiregrass. So you've got Henry, Houston, Coffey County, and forgotten one. I'm seeing it in my mind's eye. Part of Coosa County. So the huge district covers 14 counties.
All right, gotcha. Now, y'all had a working group meeting. Is that what y'all call it, a work group meeting last week?
Yes, we had our regular annual meeting was on Tuesday, which is an official state school board meeting, and Governor Ivey presided over that meeting. And then we went into our monthly work session where we have discussion on the next month's agenda.
Got it. Well, tell us a little bit about what happened at those two meetings, especially where critical race theory is involved and where other issues that parents should be aware of are involved.
Sure. So the annual meeting, really the only board business for the annual meeting was electing our new board officers for the year. So Governor Ivey presides as president of the board, and then vice president was elected unanimously Dr. Yvette Richardson. And then the pro tem, Dr. Wayne Reynolds. And then we adjourned and went into our work session. And really the only item for discussion of the board other than resolutions for next month was the discussion on the draft resolution regarding critical race theory. Not only critical race theory, but any other type of curriculum or theory that could be introduced in the classroom that might promote one race over another, one gender over another, as it in regard to K-12 education. So
I cannot
not
tell you how
about higher ed.
I cannot tell you how glad I am that you made that distinction, because so many who are defending a lot of the racial teachings that are contrary to what we know to be true. A lot of people who are saying, well, it's not CRT. CRT is a very specific thing. CRT was a college introduced idea. And they're not even acknowledging that seeping into our K-12 is this other ideology, which says that, you know, if you're white, you're privileged, you need to have white guilt. You need to understand that blacks are oppressed and whites are oppressors and that sort of thing. And so I think it's an important distinction that you guys are making when you say it's not just CRT, it's everything being taught under that bubble.
That's correct. So the last 30 days, really 45 days, we have been taking public input and I've received an enormous amount of input, phone calls, emails, people just walking up to me in the grocery store, which I haven't experienced since I was a local school board member, that people would just come directly to me and say, I need to talk to you about this. This is really concerning me. This is bothering me. I've had teachers emailing me, you know, very concerned that they would be restricted from teaching history, all of history, with transparency. And of course, the state school board is not interested in preventing history from being taught. What we do not want is for a theory to be taught in the classroom that would have children be divided by the color of their skin and suggest that their life is hopeless. It's already laid out for them, but that because they're black or brown or because they're white, they have no hope of ever excelling or dreaming of other opportunities, you know. And we have a saying in our department, every child, every chance, every day. And we mean that. And I don't want children restricted based on the color of their skin or because they were born male or female.
Well, so where did y'all get within your meeting on the language in the, no, it's a proposed resolution?
It is a proposed resolution, and we have added some additional language that we intend to codify this into the administrative code as provided by law, which would mean that that nothing could be introduced into the classroom that would suggest that one race is superior to another race or that one gender is superior to another gender and that no teacher, staff member, or employee would teach a student that or be trained by any organization that would lead them to teach that in the classroom. And that's very important because what I've heard loud and clear is that teachers are uncomfortable with some of the professional development that's been suggested teachers are professionals and so they go through coursework yearly and they are uncomfortable with anything that would ask them to teach that sort of thing in their classroom, particularly to children. We're talking K-12. These are young developing minds and we want to make sure that material is appropriate for their age.
Right. And I think that's an important distinction to be made is we're not talking about a university level. And even though I do believe that the sensitive topics that are taught there, if a professor is going to go with this, they need to go at it from a theory base and not a reality base. So there is a theory out there that exists that says X, Y, and Z is very different than this theory is correct. And you all need to implement this into your lives and adopt this thinking. And college age, especially more mature college age, has the ability to understand a little better than say any child K through 12 at that.
Right. So, and a point that I've made to several people is this many adults are struggling to have these conversations with each other, how can we expect children to absorb and have these conversations with each other in the classroom? They're just right. not appropriate. And parents want the ability to have a full understanding of what's going on in the classroom. I call it educational transparency. And, you know, some educators push back on that and say, well, we don't think we have to be transparent. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm a parent of three daughters, and I wanted to know and be involved in what they were doing in the classroom. I never wanted to dictate what would be taught to them, but I wanted to be made aware so that we could have those conversations at home and it could be appropriate, and I could make sure that my girls were getting our perspective. After all, we are the parents. And so I very much respect educational transparency and want that from the state level.
Well, and is that going to be a part of, or is this a part of now the resolution that that when they do address or broach any topic of this sort, they need to be transparent about that?
I believe it's indicative of the resolution. Local school boards will still control all of their content. They will adopt curriculum. They will make those decisions on where they're spending their money, but they will not, as a part, if it's codified in the code, they will not be able to purchase materials that would teach a political ideology in the classroom or that would instruct students or indoctrinate students into a social framework that would suggest one race is better than another.
Got it. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about what happens next with that resolution and then go on to other priorities of yours for this coming next year. We'll be right back. You're listening to April Marie Fogle with Board of Education Commissioner District 2. Is that right?
That's correct.
District 2, Tracy West. We'll be right back after this.
He may not know whether he's coming or going, but whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey, this is Randy and Tammy Burkhalter at Prattville Farm Center.
Hey, Randy, tell me about those hot chicks I've been hearing about.
Now, Tammy, I don't know any since we got married.
No, Randy, the baby chick.
Oh, yeah, we're getting Rhode Island Reds, Americanas, Buff Orpingtons, and about six other different varieties.
Plus ducks, turkeys, geese, and guineas.
Hey, and raising chickens is a great family project.
And you get to look forward to fresh eggs.
Visit Prattville Farm Center at 1154 South Memorial Drive and pick up your hot chicks today.
Hi, Alabama. This is your favorite president, Donald Trump. Few Republicans have as much courage and fight as Alabama Congressman Mo Brooks, a friend of mine. Mo is a great conservative Republican leader who fights for America first, no matter what obstacles the fake news media, rhinos, or socialist Democrats place in his path. And he knows how to fight. Mo Brooks is pro-life, loves our military and our vets, protects our Second Amendment, combats the Biden open border agenda, fights for voter integrity like few others. I'm President Trump, and MAGA Mo Brooks has my complete and total endorsement for U.S. Senate. MAGA Mo will never let you down. Vote for Mo Brooks.
This is Congressman Mo Brooks. Please join President Trump's fight for America at MoBrooks.com. That's MoBrooks.com. I approve this message paid for by the Mo Brooks for Senate Committee.
Hi, this is Carl Schmidt, naturopath and owner of The Herb Shop. Listen every Saturday to Winning Wellness and learn from experts in different fields of science and technology how nutritional supplements can help you.
Listen to Winning Wellness at its new time every Saturday at 10 a.m.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At P- PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Good afternoon. You are listening to April Marie Fogel here. Tracy West on the line. Hiya, Tracy.
Hi.
So we're discussing the CRT resolution. Now, did y'all pass this? What's the next steps for it?
Okay, so the next step will be at our August 12th board meeting next month. And I expect this resolution to come before the board. I expect Governor Ivey to request that that be on the board agenda, and then we'll move forward with passing of this resolution. And I've heard from fellow board members, some feel the way I feel and others do not, and I respect that and understand that. But I do support the resolution that Governor Ivey has put forth for the board.
Now, were there originally two? There was a one by that Mackie worked on with Ivy, and one that was Alabama Policy Institute in Eagle Form, if I remember correctly. Are you just moving forward with one of those two?
We're moving forward with the governor's resolution, and we have altered some of the language in that original resolution. As she requested, we accepted input from different organizations and individuals. And so we did not take up Eagle Forum's resolution or Alabama Policy Institute. However, some of the language was added to our resolution that made sense. And I feel like, you know, further solidified the fact that this would be going into administrative code, which is important. People need to know that there is action associated with the resolution. It's not just a resolution for the sake of a resolution, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. So you mentioned a great point, which is the misinformation out there about what this would do. You said you had heard from somebody who was worried that this was going to change the way that children are taught about history and slavery, and what I'd say, for lack of a better word, the icky parts of the American history. And they thought that a lot of these efforts were made to circumvent teaching that or to whitewash it. Do you feel like that's a deliberate misrepresentation of what the board is trying to do?
It is. I think that people point to that, and that's simply, if you just look at what we've been teaching in Alabama and you look at our standards for civics and U.S. history, the Thomas B. Fordham Institute has produced a report for 2021 that Alabama is exemplary in its teaching of civics and U.S. history. Now, if we've been doing that for years already, why do we need to add critical race theory in order to better ourselves in Alabama in teaching U.S. history and civics?
Right.
The report actually suggested that we just needed to expand on the 14th Amendment and possibly tailor down a couple of our courses because they were so rigorous, they weren't sure that we could get all the material in its full breadth in 1 year. So they've only made a Yeah, only a couple of suggestions. So I don't believe we need to introduce this in the classroom to better ourselves. Look at all the other states that were not exemplary. What are they teaching? Many of them are teaching critical race theory, and it is preventing students from getting the very best from our educators. And so, you know, I just disagree with that notion.
Got it. We've got a caller on the line. Would you mind fielding a question?
Sure.
All right. Red Top, what's your question?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for coming in and filling us in on the education system. Is critical race theory being taught anywhere but college in Alabama right now?
It is not a part of our standards, so no, sir, it is not being taught in Alabama. Now, I cannot tell you that a teacher in a school district may not have had a discussion or possibly suggested that children eradicate, you know, their whiteness or their blackness, or that they are considered oppressed or an oppressor, because there will always be people out there that will have those discussions. So I can't promise that that hasn't happened, but it is not a part of our standards at this time. No, sir.
Okay.
And I want to keep it that way.
One of our state legislators, Friday, I saw an interview on Capital Journal, and he said, this is totally unnecessary. It's not being proposed anywhere, and it's only a college course now. And he feels it's kind of a waste of energy. Now, may I say one other thing? How dependent is the state of Alabama on federal funds for education? And don't they set the agenda? We buy our textbooks from the state of Texas, don't we?
All right. Thanks for those questions, Top. I'll give Tracy a moment to answer.
Sure. So that is one of the concerns out there, is that there are federal grants that are proposed to teach U.S. history and civics that will tie critical race theory in, that will suggest if you take this $5 million grant for your local school district, so locals can apply for those grants, then they must teach critical race theory in the classroom in order to receive that money. So for any lawmaker to say that this is a waste of energy, it's a waste of energy until it comes to your district and it's taught in your school system.
Well, and even more so, what this does is it says, coming up into the next year, it says, or would this be effective the next school year or the one after?
Yes.
Or immediately? Okay.
Yes. No, it would be, so if it's adopted in August, then there can be an emergency rule adopted to place it into the administrative code so that we know beginning this school year, we will not allow this to be introduced into the classroom.
Well, and what we've seen, and I say we've seen, those of us watching, is that, no, it's not in a formal curriculum. But that doesn't mean, like you just said, that teachers aren't independently teaching it, or schools aren't independently teaching it, or progressives aren't independently teaching it. I've got examples out of Tuscaloosa of very racial things being taught in the high school there. And so just because it's not on the formally adopted lesson or, you know, curriculum of a school or a program or a county does not mean that it's not being taught. And what this does is it says, no sneaking this stuff in.
Right.
No, we're going to go outright ban it. We're going to outright say you cannot teach this, which is not based on facts, by the way. You cannot teach a lot of these very controversial issues. And then just use the defense, because we are seeing a lot of liberals using the defense that, well, it's not in the formal curriculum. Teachers are just doing it themselves. And quite frankly, while I am all for local control, I'm not for classroom control where teachers are going all willy-nilly teaching their political ideologies.
That's right. You know, and we also have to think about school safety. One of the tenets of critical race theory, now you just got to think with logically, right? This is common sense. But one of the tenets of critical race theory is that our policing system in the United States of America was set up to oppress the minority race and promote the majority race. If you introduce that into the K-12 classroom with young men and young ladies, And then you have a school resource officer in uniform in the school there to protect and to serve. Do you really think that the young people learning that the policing system or suggesting that the policing system is set up against them or to promote them racially, do you think that they're going to trust that officer? Do you think that they're going to go to that officer for advice if they get in trouble or seek that officer out to report anything that might be unsafe in their school?
No, I don't.
These are children. So why would we ever introduce something like that into the classroom?
I agree. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Tracy, and telling us about this. I want to have you back. I'll coordinate that with you, having you back to talk about a broader what we are doing in education to get our proficiency numbers up in math and reading. Tell our listeners where they can find you.
Yes, absolutely. You are welcome to go to TracyWestForSchools.com. And you can reach me there. You can also go to alabamaachieves.org, and you'll find all the board members listed there and email and telephone numbers. And I have an open door policy. People call me from all over the state or email me, and I try to get back to them within 24 to 48 hours. Obviously, we are dealing with the Alabama Literacy Act right now, and that is it. Extremely important piece of legislation, and we're working, our teachers are working very, very hard to get prepared for this coming year to have our children get back on track and to negate the learning loss due to COVID. And I'd much rather be focusing on that, but I am absolutely willing to tackle critical race theory since it's presented itself. We didn't go seeking it. It came to us, and we're Governor Ivey is taking care of business.
Well, I appreciate that so much. Thank you again for calling in, and we'll have you again on to talk literacy and math very soon.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate this invitation.
Thank you. I am so appreciative of her taking the time to give us a call, Joey. We are going to hit a quick break here. You have been listening to April Marie Fogle filling in for Dan Morris, Joey Clark keeping me out of trouble. More in just a few minutes.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Looking for a better way to start your day? Start it with Alabama News Rising on CBS 8 and ABC 32. News anchor David Lamb brings you the latest local news so you know what's happening. Meteorologist Ryan Stinnett gets you ready to head out with his updated local forecast. And our exclusive live traffic reports help you plan your drive so you're not stuck on the streets. Alabama News Rising on CBS 8 and ABC 32. Weekday mornings from 4:30 to 7. Rise and shine.
Another Guardian Credit Union story.
Good morning. What can I get you?
Yeah, I need a cup of coffee. I also need some tires for my van and my washer machine to stop leaking.
We're a coffee shop. We only sell...
And I need a new roof, a bigger bed, and a porch door that you don't have to fight with to close. Oh, how am I going to do this?
Oh, okay. I can get you some coffee. But let me tell you, for everything else, you should talk to my friends at Guardian Credit Union. They'll help you get what you need when you need it. Guardian helped me just last month when I needed a new refrigerator.
Really? Wow, maybe they could help me take care of some of my needs.
I'm sure they can. Here's their number. It's 334-244-9999. Or you can just apply online. Now enjoy that coffee, honey. Everything will work out.
Connect with Guardian today for all your lending needs. Federally insured by NCUA.
Once upon a time, if you had a water leak under your house or a broken drain line, the only solution was to dig. Don't dig a hole, call Cole. all. Cole Plumbing can repair any damaged or leaking pipes without digging in most cases. Cole Plumbing relines, repairs, and renews your pipes and with minimal interruption to your routine. All work comes with a limited warranty. Call Cole Plumbing today at 279-8919. And remember, you don't have to dig a hole. You can call Cole. Call 279-8919 today.
Traditionally, plumbers repair defective water, sewer, drain, and other pipelines by digging holes, breaking into floors, slabs, or walls. This type of destruction is a last resort at Cole Plumbing. With our unique pipelining technology, we can eliminate demolition that causes extreme inconvenience, disruption, and expense. Also, it's safer. So don't dig a hole. Call on Cole at 279-8919 or find us at coleplumbing.com. You'll be pleased you did. And remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
If you have a loved one needing extra care, call Prattville Health and Rehab, a skilled nursing facility offering short or long-term physical therapy, long-term residency, secure dementia care, or even short-term respite care. What makes Prattville Health and Rehab special? Inpatient physical, occupational, or speech therapy with private therapy rooms, a seven-day-a-week activity department, and a professional loving staff with the goal of bringing your loved one's past life into present. For information, call 334-365-2241 or go to PrattvilleHealthandRehab.com. Our family caring for yours.
Call David Ernest and he'll have your retirement savings higher than the body count in a John Wick movie. Well, maybe not that high, but you know what I'm talking about. Don't miss the Health and Wealth Show, weekday evenings at 6 on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. The risk of showers and thunderstorms will be around for the next several days, but the number of storms each day will thin out, so your odds of getting wet are lower. Today, random scattered afternoon and evening storms, partial sunshine, high near 90, tonight's low 72. Tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, more hit or miss afternoon and evening storms, but more misses than hits. Highs in the low 90s tomorrow and Saturday, and low to mid-90s on Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Buying or building a new home comes with many difficult decisions. The mortgage process shouldn't be one of them. Let CBNS Bank's experienced mortgage lenders make the process easy. Visit a CBNS Bank office or cbsbank.com. All loans subject to credit approval. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Afternoon. That was a great first hour and a half, if I do say so myself, Shelley Clark. I'm always appreciative of people who give me their time.
Indeed.
And I love it when the listeners get to call in with their thoughtful questions. 272-9228 if you want to call. And if you want to call, don't forget we still have Sweet Creek to do tomorrow. And you can ask to get in on the Mortgage Corporation of the South for next week. This week's Mortgage Corp caller or winner was Bravo.
Indeed.
So Bravo, Bravo, you have won the $75 Mortgage Corporation of the South gift card. And we want to hear from you. 272-9228. Give us a call. Hiya, Joey Clark.
Hello.
Are you excited about the idea of possibly having sausage, alligator sausage tomorrow?
Yes. I'm looking forward to that. I very much am looking forward to alligator sausage, but, you know, I have a dream, April Marie, that one day I will own acres and acres of land with a massive back porch where I can look out at my kingdom, and I don't want any mosquitoes bothering me while I do it.
That's an important thing. You know what? I think, I feel like Benji has a guy.
Yeah, Benji, Dan's awesome dog, and he's massive. He might be intimidating until you meet him. You're like, oh, he's just a big buddy. But he doesn't want to be bothered by mosquitoes. Dan doesn't want to be bothered by mosquitoes. Who does? Especially when you've invested in a great backyard or great front porch. My mother and I used to sit on the front porch swing and chat about the world. And you don't want to be bothered by those nasty little bugs. So what you need to do is call Russell Mosquito Control. LaVon Russell has been helping Dan out, Dan and his friends, for years now, I believe, and He does great work, very effective, and gets rid of those mosquitoes in a way where you don't have to spray anything on yourself or constantly light candles that aren't that effective in the first place. That number for Russell Mosquito Control, 425-7587. Write that down, 425-7587. And be sure to tell LaVon and the team there at Russell Mosquito Control that you're a Dan Moore Show listener and that you heard Joey and April Marie chatting about them.
Do that. It's a very important thing. Everybody needs to rid themselves of the skeeters. Skeeters yes. are not so good. No bueno with the skeeters. So yesterday, there was a big story that went around, not just Alabama, even though it came from an Alabama hospital doctor. It went around the country. There are a lot of people weighing in on this Grandview Hospital doctor who was talking about her experience with people who are dying of COVID but didn't get their shot. Did you see this brouhaha yesterday, Joey?
Yes, I did.
Can I tell you, here's the thing, okay? If you listeners are in the healthcare field and you are a heartless, inhumane person, or you can be so insensitive and inhumane to those who have died and are dying, you might, just might, want to pick another job. That's where I am. So the story is Dr. Brittany Cobia. I may not be saying her name correctly there. Dr. Brittany Cobia. And she's a hospitalist. I had to look that up. That just means that she's a doctor who only practices in the hospital. And she seems to have lost her sympathy towards individuals who catch COVID who could have or should have been vaccinated. 272-9228 if you want to get in on this conversation. 272-9228. Essentially, what this doctor has said is that that her initial reaction is to not feel sympathy for those who come in. And I'm going to actually directly quote her because it's almost mind-boggling that she would say this. This is a direct quote. You kind of go into it thinking, okay, I'm not going to feel bad for this person because they make their own choices. But then you actually see them. You see them face to face, and it really changes your whole perspective because they're still just a person that thinks they made the best decision that they could have with the information that they have and all the misinformation out there. And now all you really see is fear and regret. And so, and even though I may walk into the room thinking, okay, this is your fault. You did this yourself. When I leave the room, I just see a person that's really suffering. When you walk into the room and you think it's your fault you did this to yourself, kind of heartless, Joey. Kind of heartless, guys. If you're in the medical field and that's how you're walking into any room, be it somebody with COVID, being a smoker with lung cancer, someone who's maybe harmed their body with alcohol, your job is to see the person and fix the person and do the best you can, not to judge them. I don't want hoity-toity doctors judging my decisions. Like, what in the world is that crap? She goes on to basically kind of have the scene that plays out in her story. The headline is, "I'm sorry, but it's too late." An Alabama doctor on treating unvaccinated people. She says, in the end moments, a lot of these people who are dying, they cry and they tell me they didn't know. They thought it was a hoax. They thought it was political. They thought because they had a certain blood type or a certain skin color, they wouldn't get sick. They thought it was just the flu, but they were wrong. And they wish they could go back. And I go back to my office and I write their death notes and say a small prayer for the loss. That this loss will save more lives. Okay, first off, and she says they're begging. They're begging for the shot as they die. I don't think that's happening. I don't think anyone in the world is laying there on their deathbed begging to get the COVID shot. I just don't find that very believable at all. Billy, how's it going?
Hey, hope y'all doing well. Yeah, I don't believe that neither. Someone's lying on their deathbed. That's the last thing they're talking about, getting a one-all, cure-all shot.
That it's clearly too late for.
Well,
also, I didn't know if you saw this floating around on social media, but there are two men. I think one's claiming to be a doctor, but he's talking about unreported deaths due to the COVID shot. And he's saying that one figure is over 45,000 people, and they're something, but they're called the whistleblowers. I don't know if you have heard that yet or not. I think they're kind of popular on TikTok right now.
I'll have to look them up. I have not heard that, but I feel like after watching what happened with the J&J vaccination, where they stopped it for a while because they wanted to verify that it wasn't harmful for women, it's very hard for me to think that they're able to hide 45,000 deaths. That would be tough to hide.
It would, but I didn't know if you actually had a chance to check into that story yet or not. But no, I mean, people lying on their deathbed and crying for a shot, that's just no way. And if that's the case, then any medical professional would want to just brag about, you know, people dying. That's heartless.
But it's gross.
Just expect a group of people that get rich off prescribing opioids. I mean, come on. I mean, it is what it is. But I hope y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Billy. I appreciate the call. I haven't seen that 45,000 number, but I'll look and see if I can track down the source of that. Navy lady on the line. Hi there, Navy lady.
Hi, how are you, April?
I'm good. Now, is that your color, or were you actually in the Navy?
I was in the Navy.
Oh, thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, Joey.
Hello.
Hey, April, I wonder if this doctor up here in Birmingham, I wonder if she treats the same her patients that are dying of obesity and diabetes. I wonder if she treats them the same way, watching them feed themselves over and over and over daily, massive amounts of fast food, junk food, garbage. I wonder if she feels the same way, and does she make announcements like that, and does she say a little prayer for the people that are dying of obesity, which die 10 times more the amount of COVID than COVID people die.
Amen to that, Navy lady. I literally thought the same thing. I thought, I do not want a physician at my bedside judging the reason why I'm there. She literally goes on the record and says before she walks into the room, she's thinking to herself, they did this to themselves.
I want her fired. And I know I'm not alone. And this fear porn that these loony lefties are trying to push about this COVID and if they have vaccination. It's not a vaccination. It's an experimental injection. It is not a vaccination. And yes, I have seen that number, and I've seen it actually for about 2 months now, that 45,000 number. And it's true. The VAERS system, the VAERS reporting system, VAERS.hhs.gov, they've removed over 200,000 reports just in the past 2 months. Now, for someone that's been monitoring the VAERS system like I have since January, I watched them remove the deaths. I watched them remove all of the adverse side effects that are being reported. People are being permanently maimed and killed over this injection. And that kind of fear porn right there, somebody needs to pay. They need to take responsibility for that.
Poor medical treatment.
Absolutely.
I mean, absolutely poor medical treatment. You hit the nail on the head when you said, does she feel this way? Does she give these warnings and have these morbid negative thoughts about patients who are obese? And I say, or patients who smoke, or patients who drink, or patients who choose to ride a motorcycle. How many individuals is this woman chalking their illness or their injuries up to their own decisions, where she's going to walk in and feel no sympathy for them, or plan to feel no sympathy for them?
Well, what's really interesting, April, is that there's only been 18 deaths associated or attributed to COVID since May. And actually, they all happened in May. All right. I wonder how many of those she actually treated. I think that information should go public. If this woman wants to go public and make a statement about something, then we have a right to know how many patients that she treated that died of COVID.
Well, and it's a very good question for the families. Could you imagine your mother, father, grandparents, children being somebody who you know died under her care, and wondering if it affected, if her personal opinions impacted their care?
Well, absolutely. And not only that, but I'd be willing to bet that But not once did this woman ever offer any hydroxychloroquine. Just sat there and told him, I'm sorry, it's too late because you won't take our poisonous injection. We're just going to deny you the right to survive. And that's exactly what they're doing, April. It's what's coming. You know it's coming. And until we stop being quiet and accepting it and sitting back and pretending like it's not happening, like they didn't steal the election. We know they did. We have the proof now.
All right, Navy lady. Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you for calling.
Have a great day.
All right. Joey Clark. Do we have to hit a break?
Yes.
All right. We're going to do that now. You are listening to April Marie Fogel. We'll be right back after this quick break.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage.
And I'm Madeline Cannon, and we understand what it means to serve. As children of military veterans, we are committed to providing our service members with the very best mortgage rates and experience.
Our community is full of veterans that would benefit from a VA interest rate reduction refinance loan. Earl, for short. For those veterans who currently have a VA loan, this program is reserved exclusively for you.
We can lower your rate and lower your payment with no appraisal or income documentation required. You'll even skip a month's payment, maybe two.
An Army veteran purchased a home in Pike Road just over a year ago. We were able to drop her interest rate over a point and save her $418 a month with a VA interest rate reduction loan. Folks, if you have a VA loan, you owe it to yourself to pick up the phone.
Call Alabama Home Mortgage today at 567-4223 or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com. Call Alabama Home Mortgage because there is a difference in mortgage companies.
NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to April Marie Fogel. Shall we clock? Keeping me out of trouble?
Hello.
Or doing his best to, anyway. I have a stomach ache from eating too many Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
There'll be no ER trip for me. The doctor there might judge me for my personal choices. For what it's worth, I'm judging myself for my personal choices right now.
I know the feeling.
Well, what I did is I took the Sour Patch Kids and I hid them from my children and I hid them in my purse and then I looked down in my purse and they're Sour Patch Kids and what's a girl to do? But dispose of them all by putting them in her belly. This doctor really has me aggravated. This and AL.com has me aggravated too because this is nothing but, as the last caller said, fear porn. And... I've said before, I don't begrudge people who make their own decisions. You can weigh your own risk factors, no pun intended there, but truly we know who's at risk. Elderly are at risk, obese are at risk, those with heart and lung conditions are at risk. We know who's at risk and they know themselves. And so I'm not going to judge, and a doctor should not judge those who make their own personal decisions. Now, hopefully, most everybody is doing theirs in concert with whichever physician treats them. Don't get your medical advice off of Twitter or Facebook from your cousins text messaging you. Don't do it. Call an actual doctor, not this jerk, but a real one. Maybe one with a thought who's going to thoughtfully sit down and talk to you. Bravo. Don't forget to give us a call, 272-9228. You are the winner of the Mortgage Corporation of the South drawing this week. Charlie on the line. Hiya, Charlie.
Man, that was fast. I'll tell you right now. Hey, April, I tell you what, I totally agree with the lady that called in, Miss Navy, whatever she was.
Navy Blue? Saying.
Yeah. Let me tell you about a friend of mine. I talked to him just... well, the first of the week, he went in and got his second shot and I'm not going to tell you which shot it was because I don't want to freak people out, but he did tell me which one it was. But the next day, when he got out of bed, he noticed that he had a terrible rash on his legs, around his knees. He thought he had broke out with shingles. Well, he went to his doctor, and it wasn't shingles, and the doctor didn't know what it was either. He did take a biopsy to check it out and see what was going on. And when he got home, well, the doctor, he checked his, he was telling me that the doctor looked at his body. But when he got home, another patch had popped up on his back, below his neck. That right there is, that's scary.
What did they end up saying it was?
They never said. They didn't say until they got the test back. And I haven't talked to him. I wish I would have called him before I called you guys, but I haven't spoke with him, but I will today. But he's probably mid-60s, and he was really, really concerned. He said it didn't have any pain to it, but it itched terribly bad, and it just showed up overnight.
It is one of those, so all medications come with risk, and this drug...
Well, they do.
And this drug has not gone all the way through, and call, listeners, you guys don't need to be reminded that that this drug hasn't gone all the way through the FDA process. Every drug comes with risk, and I think it's incumbent upon all of us, to find out the risk of any drug you're on or any drug you're going to get, anything you're going to introduce to your body. And so, I didn't know the risk of Parmesan cheese was I was eating wood chips until a caller called and told me. But, all kidding aside, that there are factors that make an individual more prone to high risk. And here's what I say.
Sure.
I saw somebody commenting on this yesterday. When I went to get my shot, I went to a pharmacy. Now, at that point, I had already talked to my physicians about it because I was very concerned about COVID. I wasn't sure if my risk factors would be exacerbated by my asthma. And so I had already talked to my physician about the shot, the vaccinations, and right. And I made a decision based on that conversation. But there are people who have had adverse reactions to the shots. Do you remember that nurse who was one of the first COVID shots?
Yes.
And like fainted on TV afterwards?
That's right.
And everybody was like, what just happened? And she's like, that happens when I have shots. We should take the information we know about ourselves and our bodies. And, I'm not... At first, I was like, oh, they're doing all these drive-up vaccination clinics. Great. Well, if you are at high risk for any particular reaction or you have something else going on where you're not tip-top shape for your age group and body type, maybe you should talk to a physician and not just go to one of these drive-up vaccination sites. Maybe you should go to your physician's office and get a shot, not go to a pharmacy where they're not going to be equipped to handle these things.
Well, why would the government threaten people, the ones that want to make a choice, and that's the country we live in, we have free choice. But why would the government want to threaten people that choose not to take these vaccines and would rather leave it in God's hands as far as how they, whether they survive or not? I think it's just terribly wrong. And, I'm thinking that, some of these people that go to these little joints to have their vaccine or to get vaccinated, what if that vaccine has been laying out in the hot sun? What has temperature done to it? We just don't know. The other vaccines that we take, it takes years to check them out, make sure they're safe and all like that. And we get this running in within months. It's a huge, huge risk. But I know Buddy, he's having some big issues, whether it's the vaccine or not, but it did show up after.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling in, Charlie. I